Back on your Ravens MVP questions shortly. Got a guest in the studio now, former governor of the great state of Maryland, Bob Ehrlich, who's got a new book out, just out last week, Turn This Car Around. Frequent guest on our show. Love talking sports with him. Love politics as well.
Captain of Princeton's football team, weren't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Boys, how are you?
Good.
By the way, we're sorry. Well. Ray Rice.
Are you on Ray Rice on MVP?
You're agreeing with Steve?
Yeah, I am. Sorry.
It's not the first time he's agreed.
Remember my cabinet there, and what can I say?
Man, Suggs.
I mean, Suggs may be defensive MVP of the league.
He's going to be the defensive MVP of the league.
See what you're talking about. The function is a direct relation between number of touches and wins. You can't argue with that, Ed.
Okay. I think I can.
Remember, that's what the governor said. Stop arguing.
Let's take a vote. No, we have. I think people look. I could have argued the Suggs case as well.
Sure, you can. Sure,
but I just think Ray Rice. When you look at it's blatant. When he doesn't touch the football, they don't play as well.
So it has nothing to do with the game planning that he doesn't touch the football and they can just,
Well, the offensive line struggled early in the year. Obviously, there was some of those early. The inexplicable losses there still, I think, are in everyone's minds. Obviously,
it's not just. Not touching the ball. He's such a dynamic player with a football. But the difference in how he performs between him and everybody else.
I'm a huge fan of his. You know that. I said that. You got to give him the ball to get him to break off those 50-yard runs. You don't give it to him, he doesn't do it. But I don't know.
Huge fan. When he had 5 carries in the game, you said to me, your exact quote was, if they had Jalen Parmalee, this never would have happened.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And I guess, I'm sure you have some stat in front of you, and I have no idea. I haven't looked at this, but... I'm sure there's a number with regard to the Ravens last couple of years. If they throw more than 35, 40 times a game, they lose.
Right. Well, it goes for any team.
It's a league. But particularly the Ravens, because they're not built to throw the ball a lot. They're built to run the ball in December and January for the playoffs to beat the Steelers. I mean,
Do you have an audience with Cam Cameron to somehow?
He's a good guy. I played, hit some balls with him one day. It was fun, but he's a good guy.
He's a very nice guy. I saw him yesterday, actually.
He was all excited to see Ed yesterday.
He was. He came right up to me.
Yes, he did.
Excited to see you guys?
More excited to see Ed than me.
Yeah, well, that's normal.
He sees me more. We're talking with former Governor Bob Ehrlich. He's got a new book out, Turn This Car Around. You know, before we get to your book, I do want to ask you about, you were the governor of the state, the biggest, huge University of Maryland supporter.
Yes.
Here they are. They're having all these financial problems. Fan. Now they're running out the offensive coordinator. He's got $1 million left in his deal. I don't think they're going to have to pay him all that. I'm certain wherever he gets a new job will go to mitigate whatever they owe him. But that being said, what do you think about what's going on with Maryland sports?
Can I first condemn a practice that has become prevalent in college football over the past 10 years? Coach in waiting. Coaches in waiting never work. It's a bad idea. It puts you in a jam. It did here with James Franklin, of course. Look, none of us are happy with the Ralph situation. Full disclosure, Ralph's a friend. Mm-hmm. Like Ralph, 9-4, whole 9 yards, and he's out. So none of us are particularly happy with that.
So you didn't think he should have been fired?
I don't. But on the other hand, he was. Life goes on. We understand that as well. Randy Etzel wins at UConn. Really tough place to win. Beats Notre Dame. Good guy. I think he's a good coach. And so you have to give him a couple of years. You have to let him bring his players in, obviously. Change a culture down there. I do not understand what exactly happened. I've seen a million times it happen with me in my program. My coach was fired after my junior year in college. I mean, it happens all the time. Coach gets fired. Seniors typically don't make out too well because it's a new culture, new assistant coaches, new systems. You bring your kids in. You can only judge him, really, after probably year 3.
What about
or at least begin to judge
so
him anyway.
John Feinstein's article calling for him to be fired.
Feinstein, whatever. I mean, yeah, that was a brutal article. I read it. He's a great writer. I'm not sure I agree with him a lot, but that was insane. First of all, and Steve, your question is bottom line, red, black here. And this has been going on for a while. Debbie seemed to get it under control. I hate to see kids punished when this occurs. They're going to eliminate a certain amount of sports. Mm-hmm. And it just goes back to a lot of issues in college sports where football and basketball, I think, really do need to be exempted. Because they're such revenue sports. I hate when sports, when colleges cut sports for girls and boys. I mean, it should be about the experience. Non-revenue sports have a place in college athletics. You know, why these kids have to pay the price, I don't know. But in any event, I hate to see it.
That's awful.
All right, so look, I think people listen to the show both know that we're, Ed and I are big supporters of yours. Ed obviously worked for you. I've been
Remember my
with
cabinet?
You.
Yep.
I used to fall asleep during cabinet meetings. That's not true. I just made that up.
Sorry, we're
actually
making a lot of
he'd
stuff
always
up.
Be talking about the latest drug bust. He was so proud. He'd come in. We busted some big cocaine, right? It was fun. It was fun. I look forward to seeing you at cabinet meetings. He'd tell us the latest bad guy that got brought down. It was fun.
So you got a new book out. Turn This Car Around.
Yes.
What's it about?
It's a roadmap to, I guess, policy and politics with respect to culture and economics. It's not a memoir. It's not an autobiography. It's about a roadmap for the country. It's written for a national audience, for national consumption, on the eve of a pretty important presidential year. So really pleased with the reviews so far running around the country. Mm-hmm. Did a nice book signing with your buddy, Mr. Giuliani, who did the foreword for the book. Rudy
my
did
prior
the,
boss. Yeah. Before,
yeah.
One of my old bosses.
One of my great friends and one of your great friends. We did a signing in Manhattan last week. I'll be running around to California, Michigan, around the country doing some book signings. What I typically do, Steve, is go somewhere, do a Q&A on politics for an hour or whatever, sign some books and dust.
That's why, in the 4 years before we go over to Bob Ehrlich, the book, though, and I think people should know, just I want to just reiterate what you just said. It's not for Marylanders only. This is not just a local book about your time in office and the memoir of your years as governor. This is about just changing the country and putting us back in the right direction, correct?
That's correct. And it draws on, obviously, my experiences in state legislature, in the United States Congress, as governor, in the private sector. But it's something I wanted to do, Steve. I love to write. As governor, as member of Congress, I wrote my major speeches. I thought it was important. Ed knows this. I mean, my staff would go crazy. But I wrote my major speeches because I really thought that it was important that the people of Maryland or my congressional district, whatever, thought that the words coming out of my mouth were my words, were my positions. It was what I thought. It reflected where I wanted to take the state of the country. And that's how I wrote the book, too. Ed knows me very well, and you know me very well as well. But he saw me, obviously, close up as governor, and you know how true that is. I really felt very strongly that I hate politicians that just read speeches. I hate politicians that are over-reliant on teleprompters. People really need to respond to you. And the most eloquent speakers I've seen in my lifetime, Jack Kemp, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, were just great off the cuff. They were just terrific off the cuff. And you suspected they thought, or at least the words coming out of their mouth reflected what they really thought, where they wanted to take the country.
I hate politicians who want to eliminate three phases of government and only remember two.
Yeah, that's not good. That's never good. That's not good in high school either, by the way.
I don't know the voting age.
You may not pass.
Or when the election is.
Well, look, here's the deal. Let me just say this. Let me have all politicians everywhere under pressure situations. You've been under pressure. Nobody's perfect. You're going to say stupid things. So President Obama talked about 57 states. Right? And he's.
I just thought we were expanding.
If you were going to run.
I thought we were the ACC.
If you were going to run.
We were getting bigger.
For governor, for Congress, for presidency. If you're going to run a big time race, you're going to make mistakes. And now the issue here is how consistent those mistakes are, how large or small those mistakes are. You can't obviously be just a consistent, what's the word I'm looking for here, Ed? You can't consistently say stupid things or people think you're stupid, and you might be. You're running for president. Very few stupid people run for president. Very few stupid people become governor of Texas or whatever. So sometimes under pressure, you make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. Nobody here. These are very difficult circumstances. So on behalf of all politicians everywhere, I say give them a break.
There must be something in the water in Texas is all I'm going to say.
Well, yeah. I love you, but I'm not so
whatever.
Certain.
All right.
I'm not so certain.
I made my
I'm
defense, my passionate defense here.
Can Jeez. I cross-examine you?
By the way,
you
know. Kendall sends love to both of you.
Not that always said
he loves me more.
All right,
unbelievable.
He just needs this. He needs the constant affirmation.
He does.
And I'm going
to
give it
to him. We suck up to him in the cabinet all the time. So.
All right, so I
you say bust another drug dealer, so what?
I'd be remiss, and I'd be a wuss, frankly, if we didn't ask you about Paul Sherrick.
Yeah, longtime aide, friend of Ed's, and one of my great friends, and very unfortunate, and I really hope it's overturned on appeal. And in politics, the old saying, Steve, is if you want a friend in politics, get a dog. I think that's not true. Maybe Republican Governor Merrill, maybe you should get a big dog. But the reality of it is, in politics, your friendships are tested.
Yeah.
I'm looking across right here. And you run into unfair situations, inequitable situations. And oftentimes in politics, the inclination is to run, to be a front runner, Tony be your buddy, Tony suck up whatever when you're in office or on top. It's just not the way you run life. It's just not the way people should be. And when your friends get in a jam, they're still your friends, and you stay by your friends, period.
Politics in Maryland is a nasty business.
It's unbelievable.
It's a contact sport. It is not for the faint of heart.
Well, you know, monopolies do not like to share power. We'll say that.
No. And they get away with murder here. Not going to get...
Well, so this is not about Maryland, but yikes, give me a break. Anyway, it is what it is, and we'll see what happens.
So, all right, so the book is Turn This Car Around, and you're going to be out and about. Any signings in Maryland?
We do. We'll be in Hunt Valley, greetings and readings, Sunday, actually.
Oh, really?
1 to 3. So Ravens games that evening.
I don't think my father, but he's going
to
be here.
Oh, great. Is he? Yeah, I'd love to see him again. Yeah. We have some commercial book signings coming up at other bookstores, and then we'll be on the road as well.
Great to see you again.
Actually, the plan is to be on the road with Romney, as you know.
Oh, that's right.
After the late January.
So you're endorsing Mitt Romney?
I have, and I'm, I guess, his guy here, but most of my time with Romney will be spent out of state.
Thank you, Governor. Appreciate it. Great to see you, as always.
Great to see you, boys.
Good luck
with
the book.
Enjoy listening to you. You look great.
Appreciate it. Ed does, too. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. Just ask him. 410-583-1057.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Text us at 843-326. It's the Norris and Davis Show. We'll get to more of your MVP calls. Who is it? Rice, Suggs, somebody else?
Rice.
Suggs.